The Commission on Enhancing Agency Outcomes meeting. I'm going to try to be really brief because we're running on a really short clock. You know, as soon as the first session is called for real, we've got to adjourn and move on. Today's meeting is in regard to the delivery of human services in our state, and as we started, you know, delving into the way that we deliver human services in the state of Connecticut, there were a lot of questions that were raised, and I had discovered that the Office of the Child Advocate was also looking at very similar things to the things that we were looking at in regard to inefficiencies and redundancies and outcomes with regard to human service delivery. And so I asked them to pull together some of the information that we had discussed and that they had learned to be able to share with the Commission so that we are all working off the same information. Just in terms of future meetings, I just want to let people know that I had sent out questionnaires to almost all of the state agencies with regard to some of the proposals that we'd received through the Commission. Probably sent that out about 2.5 to 3 weeks ago, have received one response from one agency, and that's the Department of the Military Department, have not heard back from any of the other agencies with regard to the information we're requesting. So having said that, I'd like to welcome Alyssa Gordon and Christina Guillo from the Office of the Child Advocate. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Schlossberg, Representative Spallone, and members of the Commission for the opportunity to come today and present our research regarding the delivery of human services. The Child Advocate also thanks you and apologizes that she can't be here today personally. She is chairing a child fatality review panel meeting this morning. The Office of the Child Advocate is charged with evaluating the delivery of state-funded services to children and making policy recommendations to improve those services. And since our creation, our agencies looked across state agencies to better understand how children, their families, their caregivers access services and to make recommendations to improve service delivery. As all of you know, in last fall, the Human Services Committee, along with the Select Committee on Children, began investigative hearings regarding the Department of Children and Families. And that really spurred our office to do further research on what other states were doing to improve the delivery of services. And the creation of the commission then, of course, led us to continue that research. And as we did our research, we really set out to better understand what made the difference between moving boxes around on organizational charts and moving practice, changing culture, and improving outcomes for children and their families. And so that's really what we're here to talk about. I will start just with an overview of what human services delivery looks like here in Connecticut, and then Alyssa will highlight some of the lessons learned from across the country. And then we can talk a little bit about next steps. So as you know, in Connecticut, we have five primary agencies charged with delivering human services: the Department of Social Services, the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, the Department of Children and Families, the Department of Developmental Services, and the Department of Public Health. Their total budget for 2007 to 2008 was well over $7 billion, and the staff exceeded 14,000 people. And in Connecticut, children, their families, and their caregivers really receive services from all five of those agencies. And as I said earlier, we've really tried to look at inter- and intra-agency collaboration as part of our mandate. So DCF has 15 area offices, so the Department of Children and Families has 15 area offices. There is also a central office and a satellite office for special investigations, an audit unit, a revenue enhancement, and the Unified School District. And this is what their map looks like in terms of those regions. DSS, the Department of Social Services, has three regions, the northern, southern, and western regions. The Department of Developmental Service also has three regions, north, south, and west. And their regions are very similar. They're not totally identical. There are a couple of towns on the boundary lines that may fall into one region or the other, but for the most part, they are aligned. The Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services has 5 regions, and they look like this. The Department of Public Health is structured quite differently from the other agencies. They have a central office, and then there are 80 local health administration branches. And their map looks like this. Across all of those agencies, there are similar internal support functions. So all of them have some kind of administrative hearing, communication, fiscal analysis. They all have human resources, information, technology. I won't go through the entire list, but licensing, training are some of the larger areas of similar function. They also deliver similar services. They look at addiction services, early childhood services, entitlements, housing, prevention, and mental health. We took a look at the administrative costs of the agencies, and really what we learned was that it was very difficult to define administrative costs and to compare administrative costs because activities defined as administrative varied across federal funding streams, across state programs, and they were subject to different funding rules. We found a report from the GAO that looked also at administrative costs in the delivery of human services, and those costs varied between 2% and 58%, 58% being the delivery of foster care services. So what that means for consumers really is that there are numerous doors for eligibility determination. There are different regions for different agencies, different offices within regions. There is duplicative and conflicting compliance sometimes. People have multiple caseworkers, there are multiple chains of command, and multiple problem resolution processes. For taxpayers, it means that there is inadequate accountability and transparency for the state dollars that are spent. There is sometimes inefficient use of state funds, and often the most vulnerable citizens experience difficulty in accessing the services that they need. And I'll turn it over to Alyssa now.
We examine promising efforts from across the country, efforts to coordinate services, reduce duplication of human services, and improve outcome for children and families that receive those services. We looked at states and localities, including Minnesota, Oregon, Texas, Maine, and Allegheny County in Pennsylvania. And from this look, several themes emerged. Foremost, we found that the structure of child welfare and human services, in terms of where the boxes sit on an organizational chart, was really less important than the ability of the system to coordinate information and the work across the various departments that provide the services. We found that successful efforts often had strong and visible executive leadership, both at the from the governor as well as from the commissioner levels. We found that successful efforts needed to invest funds, both to do data collection and analysis, to look at ways to use technology to integrate the information that was available and the work that was being done, funds to develop the workforce, both through retraining and cross-training, to make some of those cultural shifts that were important as they move forward in coordinating information and services. The successful examples that we looked at often developed measurable outcomes and tied them to their budgeting process. And every single example we looked at required time and patience. Most places really at minimum a 3 to 5 year period of time to develop their plan, their blueprint. And in many cases, in some cases, it was a decade-long journey that continues today in terms of transforming their human service delivery. While we examined a number of different states and places that have an integrated human service delivery system, today we're going to focus specifically on Allegheny County in Pennsylvania. This is really the state with the most extensive information available about how they went beyond moving the boxes on their organizational chart to create, to really transform from a widely criticized, highly siloed system into one single Department of Human Services based on both cutting-edge business practices and supported by innovative technology. And this effort, the efforts in Allegheny County have been nationally recognized by both public and private sector and has been the subject of various in-depth studies and analysis. The changes in Allegheny County occurred over, over a decade and continues to happen today. The catalyst for the change was a child fatality and a publicized chronic systemic failure at their Department of Children and Youth Services, which is similar to Connecticut's function of Department of Children and Families here. There was an acknowledged lack of coordination among the human services agencies in the county, and there was a vision by county leaders to streamline county government. The efforts in Allegheny County really began with leadership at all levels. Public and private sectors were called upon to provide both expertise, in-kind support, and actual funding to support the process of reorganization. An independent Blue Ribbon Commission was created by the County Board of Commissioners with leaders from academic community, the business community, philanthropic community, and the judiciary. After the resignation of the, in 1995, of the Youth, Children and Youth Services Department, after that resignation, a national launch was immediately undertaken to find a new director who would, quote, overhaul the agency. So the Blue Ribbon Commission really first created a roadmap to guide change and reform at the Children and Youth Services Agency. At the same time, they created a roadmap to create a new integrated Department of Human Services in the county. The vision really was in Allegheny County to break down and bridge existing service silos to increase integration of human services. And they transformed from six county departments to five Department of Human Services program offices that are up on the slide. They also consolidated their internal support, their administrative back office type functions, into three departments that you see on the slide. And these were functions that were previously handled and duplicated in each one of their agencies before the transformation. Functions like fiscal analysis and budgeting, human resources, information technology, contracting, licensing, now are consolidated in the three departments. The new leadership of the Children and Youth Services and Department of Human Services in Allegheny County convened stakeholders, which included legislators, judges, consumers, foundations, universities, business leaders, and providers to really map out what their vision would be. The university and local foundations really took on extensive leadership roles. In fact, there was a coalition of local foundations that created a human services integration fund to assist with the development of a new Department of Human Services and to provide funding for projects that fell outside of traditional funding streams. The other thing that the new leadership did was that they shifted at the Children and Youth Services Department. They really shifted the focus away from out-of-home placement of children to family preservation and unification. And this allowed a reallocation of resources to prevention services. And from 1996 to today, to 2009, in our conversations with Mark Turner, who is the commissioner at Department of Human Services, and he was the person who came on board in 96 as the new commissioner at that time of Children and Youth Services. In that period of time to today, there's been a reduction in out-of-home placement of children from about 3,300 in 1996 to about 1,850 today. So a significant, well over a third of the children have been now moved from out-of-home placement into in-home. Today, about 50% of the budget at the Children and Youth Services Department is focused on prevention and in-home services. About 20% of the budget is focused on prevention services, and about 30% on in-home services for children and their families. The other thing that the leadership did at the Department of Human Services was that they enhanced revenue by pursuing uncapped federal entitlements. They maximized the federal funds from entitlement programs such as Medicaid and TANF, and they saved the county dollars to be put back into prevention services. The new leadership also created a strong technology plan to support its vision of integration. They created a data warehouse. The data warehouse contains about 15 million client records, and there's access authorization kind of on a need-to-know basis for staff, as well as authorized Department of Human Services staff that use the information and analytical tools to extract and analyze the data. The Chamber of Commerce, actually in Allegheny County, supported significant funds for the creation of the data warehouse, about $3 million, we're told. So Allegheny County has been the subject of in-depth examination by a group called Stewards of Change. And Stewards of Change is a national consulting group that has studied the integration of human services delivery and child welfare services, and also assist states with integration initiatives to improve the outcomes of children and families. Since about 2005, Stewards of Change has convened an annual conference bringing together national leaders. The conference is hosted by the Yale School of Management. And it brings together multidisciplinary, multi-sector leaders from across the country to share the best thinking and practices to really shape the delivery of human services and to harness technology to support these initiatives. Stewards of Change has offered and developed some useful concepts and language. They talk about two core principles. One is they term interoptimability, and that really is the idea of the vision for an integrated human services. The second term that they coined is interoperability, and that's really the actual integration and using technology to facilitate and support the integration of services. More specifically, interoptimability, the vision, includes creating a consumer-oriented focus, really looking at how the services system is experienced by the consumer, by children, by families, by individuals. Interoperability includes the idea of bridging and integrating existing silos and services. It looks at managing confidentiality requirements and how to share information across departments serving children and families. It takes a look at, again, restructuring that workforce and providing training to support the shifts that have to be made when people now have to work together in ways that they haven't before, and it looks at creating a technology framework to help support this integration. Their term of interoperability, again, is using information technology across human services system to both share and use the information to improve efficiency and outcomes. In addition to the example of the data warehouse at Allegheny County, another example of a state that has used technology to support integration and improve efficiency of services and human services is Texas. They have purchased for their caseworkers tablet PCs and digital cameras for their caseworkers to use in the field. And this allows caseworkers to input in real time their case notes when they go and work with clients. It allows them to access in real time immediate information about waiting lists and availability of services for their clients. They also use this technology to send their case notes and information to their supervisors from the field to get immediate feedback and guidance on the work that they're doing. So with this research and information, we really envision several possible next steps for Connecticut, ways that Connecticut can really identify cost-neutral or cost-saving actions that can begin to set the groundwork for transformation of human services delivery here.
So there are a few next steps that we think are worth considering and taking a look at. And really the first of those is for the legislature and the executive, including the agency head, to develop partnerships to set that vision and to support transformation here in Connecticut. And those partnerships really should include academia, the business community, the judicial branch, the key constituencies, including consumers, providers and advocates, law enforcement, and the philanthropic community. Again, as Alyssa mentioned, in Allegheny County, that was one of the key things to their success. They were able to draw on the philanthropic and business communities, both for expertise and funding. Another step to consider would be to develop population-based outcome measures that cross agencies and go across the human services agencies and hold those agencies jointly responsible. On the slide, you see that there are two links. One is to the Oregon Progress Board, and one is to Results Iowa. And those are websites that post their outcomes. And you can go on and decide what outcomes you want to look at. They're set up a little bit differently. One is set up based on departments, and another is based on issues. So you can actually go on and check off, you know, economic, poverty, and human services, and develop a report on those issues, and it provides charts and a lot of information on how they're doing and how they measure themselves. Another step to consider would be to consolidate the internal support or back office functions, things like fiscal, human resources, information technology, licensing, training, and you have a broader list on the slide, but to look at bringing those pieces together to increase efficiency and free up funds to be used for the delivery of services and to reallocate towards prevention and early intervention. You may also want to consider creating a single point of entry or a no-wrong door system for eligibility determination and information about available services. For the consumer, that's critical because, as we said, people have to go and figure out what agency, what region, and go from place to place to place to apply for benefits, get the services that their child with developmental disabilities needs, things of that nature. And so having a single point of entry is very good for consumers. There are places that talk about cost savings in doing that. Florida claims that they save $90 million a year in savings by consolidating their eligibility function. And they indicate that that's based on elimination of duplication. Another step that you may want to consider is finding additional ways to maximize our federal revenues. As Alyssa indicated, in Allegheny County, that was something that they really focused on because it allowed them to draw down federal funds and use their county funds for other things. And another idea would be to encourage agencies to save money by allowing them to reinvest either all or a percentage of the money that they save so that they can sustain or expand existing programs and direct services. Another thing to consider would be delayering management, identifying layers that can be reduced without impacting services, and also increasing supervisor to staff ratios when that's possible without negatively impacting best practice or the delivery of services. And when we spoke to Allegheny County, one of the questions that we asked was whether or not did they lay people off, did they fire people, and we were told no. They didn't, when Mark Turner came in as Commissioner of Children and Youth Services, he didn't fire people. He did a number of other things to get to know people and to require management to go out to the field, but he didn't fire people, and they did not do layoffs. They reduced staff significantly through attrition and overtime. So there are really, in conclusion, the only other thing that we would say is that there are some resources. Certainly, as we said, tapping into Connecticut consumers, providers, advocates, leaders in business, academia, and philanthropy. A possible resource would be Stewards of Change. Also, Mark Turner from Allegheny County is always willing to talk to people who actually came here, I believe it was last year, to talk about their efforts to improve the quality of legal representation and how they've partnered with their judicial branch around those issues. And also KC Family Programs. There's a peer-to-peer program where KC Family Programs sponsors groups of people that want to learn about what's happening in other states to go to those states and really get some more firsthand knowledge. So I'm sure there are other resources, but those are a few that we wanted to mention. So with that, we will just thank you again for this opportunity, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you very much for the presentation and for all of the research that you've done. I mean, this has been a long process in terms of gathering information and implementing and talking to other states and hunting down leads that turned out not to be fruitful. So we appreciate you bringing this forward. We have got limited time, so I want to make sure the committee members have an opportunity to ask their questions. So who would like to start? Representative Spillane.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of questions. What's the population we're talking about in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania?
Their population is about 1.5 million compared to 3.5 million.
So pretty large. Was it the county government that undertook this transformation? In other words, in Pennsylvania, is the county government the primary supplier of human and social services?
Yes, it is the county. It's a county-based system, and the revenue is primarily county-based, and the county is the entity that set out to do the Blue Ribbon.
Right, there was a Board of Commissioners, County Board of Commissioners, and they really led this initiative.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of success for these kinds of agencies, really one of the measures of success would be their services being needed less. If they're provided well and the interventions succeed, I mean, there'll always be ongoing services that are needed in certain circumstances, but they'd be needed less. You may have touched on it somewhat, but are there measurable outcomes where they've done a better job delivering services in Allegheny County where there were fewer incidences of neglect and abuse or issues like that?
Well, they certainly have shown outcomes in reducing the number of children who are in out-of-home care. Compared to the national averages, they have higher percentages of children who are placed with their relatives, children who are reunified once removed, reunified back with their families. And they also have had no child fatalities since 2003. National average has between around 2004 has been about 2, and they've had none. They've increased both in terms of the number of services and their funding in terms of their budget for prevention services. That really is the focus. In a number of the other places we looked at as well, in Texas and in Minnesota and Oregon, they've also been able to reallocate larger portions of their budget to prevention as a result of some savings with improved outcomes in terms of savings on placements and reallocating those monies to front end.
And finally, have they had success there or in other places with the idea? One of the more intriguing and I think important concepts is this idea where there's one portal for entry into the services, and you don't get told, no, you have to call this one, and in this part of the state, you have to, for DMIS, you're in one region, and for DSS, you're in another region, that kind of thing. Has Allegheny County or any of the other studied areas had success with the one port of entry process?
What we did read about, and this is something we're exploring a bit further, Allegheny is not yet at the single door entry. They are moving towards that. Part of what they're doing is they're building their technological capacity in preparation for moving closer to that single door of entry. In Texas, they've centralized eligibility determination for many services, so there's a centralized place to do your application and provide your information one time rather than repeated times in various doors, and then there's the ability for various agencies or departments to access that eligibility information, and we've seen that in a couple of the examples. But I think there's some more research to be done about the no wrong door single entry.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Hetherington.
Thank you very much for presenting this, and particularly for all the work you did on this. I just have one question. Do you have a conclusion as to the budget for human services, the amount of money allocated for human services prior to the consolidation, and the amount of money for human services following consolidation?
I don't think we do. One thing not right here, I don't believe that we do. Mm-hmm. What I can say is that in many cases, the examples that we looked at, there was the ability to maximize or bring down additional federal funds as well as funds from foundations and other sectors, mm-hmm, in the community. We definitely saw examples of that in a number of different places. But in terms of a comparison, probably the one place that, as I said, we've just begun to look at is both Oregon and Texas have done presentations just in this current session for them regarding budget proposals, and have started to come out and present data about some of the projected and estimated savings pre- and post-consolidation of their Department of Human Services.
Thank you. Well, I guess this is a second question, but the ability to access private sources and government sources, federal government sources, increased. Is that because they were more efficiently identified after consolidation?
Well, certainly in Allegheny County, Mark Turna made that a priority for the overarching Department of Human Services, and was able to then look for opportunities that might apply to any number of people within that population.
I think in a number of the examples that we looked at, the integration and consolidation of some of these administrative functions also created a centralized place that allowed kind of an overarching eye to be looking across departments and seeing where funding stream could be pooled, and additional funds, because there was co-location of services and cross-training going on, that the consolidated administrative departments could look across the agencies and think about ways to pull in and maximize new funds.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Magna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Were you able to compare the administrative costs of Allegheny County versus ours here in Connecticut? Were you able to draw any parallels?
We really weren't, and it's for a couple of reasons. First, as we said earlier, it was very difficult to define and identify what Connecticut spends in terms of administrative costs for the delivery of human services. In addition to that, other states define things differently as well. And so it was really difficult to sort of do an apples-to-apples comparison. Certainly in Oregon and Minnesota, with their consolidated administrative entity, They're able to report out what they spend on that piece of their Department of Human Services, and they report between 3% and 4% of their budget is spent on administrative services. But it's very difficult to then take that number and try to compare it to what we spend here in Connecticut.
Is that because of the way they're organized, or because of there's other services that they may provide, or?
Are you, when you say that, are you referring to the
In terms of having a difficulty in looking?
There really are a number of reasons. Part of it is because we can't sort of easily say, okay, what is the Department of Administrative Services for our human services delivery here in Connecticut, and what do they spend? But it's also the fact that there are many, many, many different funding streams, and each of those funding streams comes with a different definition of administrative costs and a different requirements about what the agency can spend money on, and in terms of administrative versus direct service delivery, and so it's really not teased out anywhere in the publicly available budget information to sort of say this is what we spend on administrative.
Is there any kind of one single measure that you use, like per capita or per individual within the programs or within the population? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Morin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you very much for the presentation. I'm sorry I was a little late. I guess a comment at the beginning is it is, troubling to me that we're having a hard time to determine how the cost of providing these services. I think that's something we really need to get is the first step for us to actually get our arms around it and try to fix it. I'm going to go back to follow up a little bit on Representative Spallone's comment about the Allegheny region, and he mentioned it was about $1.5 million, and forgive me for not knowing really too much about that region, but, I mean, can you compare it? Is it more rural? Is it, because I'm looking at the whole, situation in Connecticut, and I would imagine the majority of our services that we're providing are in the larger cities and then spread out. I mean, I'm sure every community uses these services, but is it a higher percentage as you get towards the...
Right, it does include the Pittsburgh area.
No, not really, but I guess, The one thing that you mentioned, and I think the frustration of people, whether no matter what kind of service they provide, whether you're going to municipality for anything, the whole stigma of government has been that you have to go and talk to 10 people before you can get anything done. And on the first page, you mentioned that children and their families and caregivers receive services from all 5 agencies. So I think this is certainly I'm looking forward to actually getting more to determine if there's ways we can streamline. There's got to be ways to be more efficient, and I think we're heading in that direction.
Thank you very much, Representative. Deputy Secretary Mike Cicchetti, did you have any questions? No. Shelley? Should I call you? I'm calling everybody by their title, so that doesn't sound right to me, so I'm going to call you Ms. Jabal.
That's fine. Attorney Jabal. From the perspective of families, picking up on the last point, you had now bureaus. So did it reduce the number of caseworkers working on a particular family's case? Was there, for example, a lead agency for that particular family? And also, was there a way of pooling otherwise categorical funding across the different bureaus so that you could have greater flexibility in meeting the family's unique needs? And the third question is... In Pennsylvania, education is also organized by county. And what was the interface with the educational system and the human services system?
We asked Allegheny County about whether or not they had moved to essentially a single caseworker system. And they have not. They are working on that. What they do right now, though, is create a team. And so there is one entity that is the lead, you know, one bureau or one office that is the lead with regard to a particular child, but then they bring together a team so that they can come together, look at what resources they have, not duplicate the services, and ensure that they best use the resources that they have to meet the needs of the child.
They've used their technology in their data warehouse to identify children and families that are being served by multiple systems, and they prioritize those cases for their teaming initiative, which they have really, they're seeing as a pilot for the next step, which is one place for the family to go to have a lead. In terms of your third question, then we'll get back to the second one, the third question about the interface with universities in Allegheny County, was that the question you were asking?
Of education.
K-12.
Oh, K-12 education. I don't think we saw anything about that specifically. What we certainly saw was that there, the focus on prevention included, and this is not just Allegheny County, but these were some of the other states that we looked at, there was certainly a focus on early childhood, which included early childhood education. And one of the frequent places that we saw in terms of co-location, cross-training, and pooling of funds occurred with some of the programs like Head Start, Child Welfare, Birth to Three, Early Intervention Program, Child Welfare, and TANF funds. Some of those kinds of programs, we certainly saw examples.
I think with regard to pooling categorical funding, that was not something that was in sort of the case studies and in the information that we found, but certainly would be an important issue to explore. It's just not one that we have information on based on what we learned in our research.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'd like first to thank the chairs for taking the lead on presenting this information, and certainly thank the Office of Child Advocate for following through on that, particularly bringing to our attention a local resource, essential to the Yale University School of Management, which has, as you said, convened an annual conference with stewards of change, and as I understand it. And I think that would be an important resource to use. I'd also like to ask for comments about several pilot programs, I would call them, in the budget this year, which could, I think, provide us some guidance. First of all, my understanding is that in the Department of Social Services, the budget includes the development of an online eligibility verification system for Medicaid and, I think, food stamps. But it seems to me that that's an opportunity to expand into providing something like the online system that you're talking about, or the one-stop system in Allegheny County. And I think that would be a good opportunity to build on. Secondly, it appears to me that the SMART teams in DAS, the small agency resource team that I think Senator Schlossberg called to my attention, providing back office functions for some small agencies in Connecticut, and in this budget, in extending that to, I think, the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities and maybe some other agencies, I wonder, again, if we could derive some useful lessons from that experience, which I think is a good step forward. And then finally, the consolidation of the steering function, as David Osborne calls it, across agencies as opposed to the merging of agencies. And I'm looking through the some reports of the Program Review and Investigations Committee. There was a great example of how that is, I think, could work and probably has worked in Connecticut in the criminal justice area. The Program Review Investigations Committee did a study back in, 2006, I guess, of the Public Act 04-234, which provided for corrections reentry. And they found at that point that there was a real need for a steering function across the to meld correction, labor, mental health and addiction, social services, Board of Pardons and Paroles, which is then existed in the judicial branch, and it hadn't been created. But then a new act in the second report indicated that OPM's Criminal Justice Policy and Planning Division had become responsible for this. And at that point, they hadn't had much experience, but I think Mike might be able to comment on what the criminal justice planning folks have done there to consolidate the steering function. But I guess just in those three or four areas, it seems to me that the Connecticut has made some steps in the right direction, and we might be able to leverage those and move forward in the direction that that I think you're suggesting. So if you could comment, and if Deputy Secretary Cicchetti could comment on some of those possibilities, I'd appreciate that.
Certainly, if Deputy Secretary, if you want to comment first, that's certainly fine with us.
Sure.
Do you accept the yield?
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. In terms of the criminal justice policy, the Office of Criminal Justice within OPM was created, I think, in 2004 or 2005. But before that, there was no central location for criminal justice planning in the state. It had been really handled separately through various agencies, depending on where they were in the process, whether Division of Criminal Justice, the Judicial Department, Department of Corrections, Department of Parole, or Division of Parole. So now we have a central planning function where the Undersecretary Brian Austin, who's headed that division since it started, has been able to convene groups, and they meet regularly and took over a lot of the there were separate groups of people that were meeting, consolidated those into one, and they have a very effective planning tool, I think, now. And they're looking at prison populations, but also some of the reentry services, and those have been expanded upon, I think, have been relatively successful throughout the state. I mean, we've had an increase in the prison population, but that is starting to come down now. In terms of the SMART agencies, I mean, that was a program started 3 or 4 years ago, a proposal by the governor, and we've seen a lot of smaller agencies now. Their HR and their business functions are being handled through DAS. There is, at this point at least, a limit on what they can do and the size of agencies they can take on, because really, if you get into really large agencies, then you're just, you know, taking a business office out of DSS and moving it now to DAS. Now, there's some probably ability to get some economies of scale, but that's a much larger type of function. I'm not sure if it makes sense to bring all those functions into one agency, especially given the specialties in which some of these human service agencies have, and there are differences amongst the different agencies as well. Public health, Department of Public Health does a lot of grants. They don't do as much direct care as, say, Department of Mental Retardation, or I'm sorry, DDS now, or DMIS. And in terms, your third point was related to the online registration system. I mean, that's obviously we're trying to move a lot more of these application processes online and streamline the application process. There's actually a lawsuit filed against the department. I think it was Carr versus Roland, maybe, or Carr versus, I don't know. That was the dental one. But there's been a lawsuit filed about the making sure that the application process through DSS is not as cumbersome, and that's we're starting to implement that, and we've dedicated some resources to that over the last couple of years. And DSS is also working on a data warehouse. I know that was mentioned in your presentation. It's still in the implementation phase, but they're already starting to see some, you know, catching some of those families or individuals that are served by multiple agencies, and trying to then use that data to coordinate amongst the agencies and make sure we're doing it in a more effective manner. But it's still in the very beginning stages of development. Bill, does that answer you?
Yeah, I guess I'm asking you to think about and the whole commission to think about the ways that we can leverage, I think, these steps forward that's already been taken by the governor and her administration, so we can, you know, achieve additional economies and efficiencies.
Kind of like an opportunity for Alyssa or Christina. Did you want to add something?
I think we would say that all of those steps are all towards the direction of having a vision of integrating services and creating a more consumer-oriented approach to human services. I also think from the examples that we read, Allegheny is kind of on one end of the spectrum, but I think in a number of the examples we read, they were smaller steps that were used using existing technology to slowly start to think about ways to use the existing technology to cross systems, to share information, coordinate information, things like some of the examples that were just raised. And so I think those are beginning steps. I will say, however, that in all the examples we read, they did start with that vision and a roadmap for that vision, and then the technology and the actual moving around or thinking about what the infrastructure would look like was came out of that vision and that roadmap.
Okay. Are there further up follow-up, any other questions for the committee members? I just wanted to add, in terms of, I think that's really the real question for this commission, is to make a determination whether, you know, whether that is the vision. I think there are efficiencies that we could have by, I don't think there's any doubt that if we took some of the administrative functions and either consolidated them into a Department of Human Services that has its own administrative arm, or moved administrative functions, you know, internally, whether it's just HR and payroll or simple things, into DAS, that there would be, first of all, efficiencies in terms of the processes. There would be a single process or at least a consolidated process that would be uniform. And then also, you know, efficiencies in terms of how we actually administer and get things done on the administrative side. You know, in terms of our IT, that's something that we've heard a little bit about already. And, you know, one of the big hurdles we have is the way that our system is set up is it doesn't allow for file sharing. And if we're going to create an integrated system that allows a caseworker or a steering committee or a steering function to be able to look across agencies, we have to decide that's where we want to go as a state. And that's really the first question that we have to ask is, you know, is there a will here to look at all of the hurdles that we've seen and all of the things that we do that have been identified as redundant or inefficient or overlapping, recognizing there are other governments out there who have found a way to do this more efficiently. You know, are we willing to go forward and to try to take that step, understanding that it, you know, it will be a long process, but knowing that in all likelihood we come up with efficiencies, but most importantly we come up with a better system for our consumers. So that those people are trying to access those services, which is, as you know, as we were told, $7.7 billion of a $17 billion budget. I think in the figures that you were using, the budget was $17 billion at that point. That's a pretty significant chunk. And if you're looking for savings, you got to go to where the chunk of money is. This is where the chunk of money is. And I think we've all talked about prevention services. One of the things I'd like to know is, you know, one of the hard facts that you gave us, family reunification, if you are limiting the amount of, you know, if you are reducing the amount of out-of-placement care, in the state of Connecticut, do you, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, do you know how much we spend on that right now in terms of, you know, outplacement? I think it's one of the highest pieces of our budget, but I'm not sure.
We don't have the dollar amount off the top of our heads in terms of what we spend on outplacements. It happens in a variety of ways here in Connecticut. Foster placements, group homes, residential. We can tell you the difference in the number of children. Allegheny County right now has 1,850 children in out-of-home care. Connecticut has about 5,400 children in out-of-home care.
So even though we are about double the population, we're more than double of the out-of-placement. You know, out-of-home placement, but and my guess is that you know, I mean, first of all, there's the human services side of this, the child welfare side, which of course is the most important. But secondly, I bet if we put figures to those particular numbers, you're talking about significant savings. Shelley's hand is up, and then Mike.
I don't know the exact numbers, Senator Schlossberg, but I think within the out-of-home placement category, the further analysis is the children who are in out-of-home placement in non-family care. And I can speak to that. We are way out of line compared to other states in the number of children in out-of-home placements who are in congregate care, residential treatment, or group homes, and not in families. And since we know that children more often get adopted out of foster families than out of congregate care, it also means that we have a far greater proportion of our children aging out of foster care at age 18 and then becoming potentially the young homeless population of the state.
Okay. Thank you, Shelley. Mike?
Just in terms of, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know that in the recent couple of years, we have lapsed more money in the board and care residential account within DCF and move that over to the foster care line. We've done that consistently over the past couple of years, and that's because more children are moving out of that out-of-home placement into either foster care or other types of in-home settings. So there's still obviously a ways to go, but we are at least moving in that direction. So, and I don't know the exact numbers of those accounts within DCF, but it has been consistently, if you look at lapses in that account or FACs transferred out of that account, it's been consistent at least over the last 2 to 3 years.
Okay. It sounds like we have a lot of good foundation to build on. So having said that, I've been advised that the House has had their 15-minute warning, so that's our cue to call it a day for this particular meeting. So, again, I'd like to thank the Office of Child Advocate for all your hard work and for coming and presenting today, and the Commission members to stay tuned. We're, you know, as I said, we're continuing to try to gather data. It's slow in coming in. As we get that information, we will continue to be meeting even after the session officially ends, because we know our work is never done. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.